Welcome into the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. My name is Jeremy Betts, and here to help me break down every angle of the 2024 NFL Draft, as we've been doing now for the past few weeks, it's my good buddy Andrew Wilbar. Andrew, how's it going, man?
I am saturated with information from the NFL Scouting Combine. We are excited to break a lot down in a very little amount of time.
Yes, the saturation has reached full saturation point. We weren't even there. You know what I mean? There's guys that were there from Tuesday to Sunday, and I don't know how they survived. So we got to see it on TV. We got to see a lot of the reports based on information coming out of the NFL Combine. That's the big news of the week, is the NFL Combine that was concluded when the offensive linemen stormed the field. No backflips at the end of their drills, Andrew. I don't know why. I mean, you know, that some of these guys are just as good athletes as the wide receivers, just much larger frames, but it makes sense. You know, they're playing their hearts out. They're trying to show what they've got in preparation for the draft, and a lot of players did that. There were some players, however, also, that maybe hurt their draft stock a little bit, and we're going to dive into all of those here on this edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview, where we're going to be doing combine studs and combine duds. Andrew, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and let's start where we have to, the quarterbacks. And we were talking beforehand, it's kind of a boring answer here. There wasn't much either way for quarterbacks. There weren't a lot of guys who said announced that they were studs, and a lot of guys who announced that they were duds in this. So your overall takeaway from the quarterbacks was, did anything stand out to you real quickly in a studly capacity from the NFL draft quarterbacks at the combine?
Nothing major. It's hard to take away thrown against air. I think JJ McCarthy had a really good workout. His footwork was good, and just his overall stance, I felt, was a little bit more calm and consistent throughout the workout. I wouldn't take anything away from the arm strength. I mean, some people who overrated the fact that, you know, oh, he doesn't have an elite arm. Maybe that will put that to silence a little bit. He displayed that he's got really good arm strength, but it really comes down more to the footwork aspect of it. Other than that, no, I don't have a whole lot to add. We knew Milton had a cannon. We knew a lot of these guys had the ability they already showed. It's just a matter of going back to the tape.
Yeah, the quarterbacks, as per usual, it's a pro day offseason for quarterbacks. You want to see what they can do in their scripted formats with guys they know. That was probably the biggest takeaway for me, is like the chemistry is just not there at the combine between these quarterbacks and wide receivers. You don't know the timing that they're going to use on their routes. You don't know the depth that they're going to go on their specific routes, because everybody's taught a little bit differently wherever they're playing. So when McCarthy misses three straight out routes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because these guys are all different, the wide receivers they're throwing to, and they didn't have any chance to study up on that. So Joe Milton's big arm obviously is impressive. The athleticism he showed. The funniest thing to me was Sam Hartman taking back-to-back 40 reps because nobody else was running the 40. And it was just the locks flowing, Andrew. It looked like a 70s movie as opposed to an actual 40 time. But hey, good luck on you, good on you, Sam Hartman, for going out and showing out and doing everything that you could to improve your draft stock. Let's move on to the wide receivers, Andrew. Maybe the talk of the entire combine was the wide receiver room. Give me a stud from this NFL combine at wide receiver.
I'm not going to use the cop-out Xavier Worthy answer. I'm going to give Xavier Leggett.
Although he is worthy of the selection.
He is worthy of a first-round selection. I'm not sure if it's going to be as worthy of as high a selection as he will actually get selected. But Xavier Leggett is a guy I would have liked to have seen him measure in, like, in that 6'3 range where he was listed at, because that would have taken it to a whole new level. But even at 6'1", 227, he's got that almost A.J. Brown body type, a thicker style wide receiver. He's got good hands. I know he's just a one-year wonder, but man, he looked pretty solid running drills for a guy who's nearly 230 pounds. He looked clean on some of those comeback routes. He caught the ball. He secured it. I thought he had one of the most underrated workouts of all the wide receivers. He's going to get lost in the shuffle, may not go in round one, but I think he's a top 40 prospect for sure in this class, may fall a little bit further than what he truly should. There's a bunch of guys. Bub Means is a guy from Pitt that no one's talking about. Had a really good workout. It's going to be a day 3 draft pick, going to do good for someone. And then Ricky Pearsall. I mean, this guy Arizona State, Herm Edwards talked him up so much, and he went to Florida. He produced at two places. He looks like a guy that's going to be an immediate year one contributor and a guy who's going to have a long NFL career. He's got all the traits you look for.
Absolutely. The other one that stood out to me was Ladd McConkey. He was awesome. Smooth as anybody out there. And then the speed, the actual long speed was there. And that was maybe the biggest concern about him. And, you know, for all the talk that the combine doesn't really matter, the workouts don't matter. These guys, you're looking at the tape. You just want to show what you showed on tape. You want to show that there's absolute metrics behind that, that you showed on tape. For McConkey, it mattered. That 40 time mattered. To me, he's a top 40 pick as well. I think that he's a guy on the rise and a guy that can do a little bit of everything for your team. And he's not just a first round receiver. He's on that borderline for me. I could see him, if he's not one of the last few picks in the first, he's definitely going very, very early second round. I just think that he's a guy that absolutely improved his stock. Xavier Worthy's speed was very impressive. I do have some concerns about the weight still, despite the speed, because 165 pounds or whatever it was, that's light. One hit and how are we doing, buddy? So we'll see how that goes.
Devontae Smith on crack.
Yeah. It's true. But his teammate, A.D. Mitchell, we got to talk up some A.D. Mitchell. He's a first-round lock at this point now, too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree. I thought, again, the height is so deceiving on some of these sites because you see him measured in at 6'4", and then you see a 6'2". I'm not going to hold that against him, though. The guy is still a really good deep threat. I like that, just the way 6'4" looks. And that was the same thing with Brian Thomas. They both measured in a little bit shorter than what they were originally expected to, but they both ran as good as what anyone expected. They're going to be good deep threats in the NFL. I think they're both first-round locks. Thomas pretty much was already. Adonai Mitchell was kind of on the fringe. I think he's safely in the top 25 picks now. Maybe he falls in that 25 to 32 range, but I don't see a way he falls out of round one after his workout. It wasn't just the speed, but he displayed a good, complete game.
Yeah, absolutely. Any duds at the wide receiver position?
Oh, man. There's several guys that I've thought long and hard about at the wide receiver spot, and I can't say there's a true dud. Keon Coleman is a loser from the combine whose stock dropped, but I don't know if all of it's completely necessary. Yes, I was very disappointed with his 40 time. I truly thought he was going to shock the world. He was going to run sub 4.5. That when you watch his tape, he looks fast. But I think the intriguing thing is that when he ran the gauntlet,
the
miles per hour was as fast as any receiver there, or any receiver there's been that's run the gauntlet in several years. So I think that has to be put into consideration too. With the ball in his hands, when he's out in pursuit running a route, the speed is still there. I think if he falls to the mid second, maybe even late second round, I think that's highly possible at this point. Some team's going to get a steal because even though he may not be the greatest separator, kind of like George Pickens with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he knows how to come down with the passes like no one's business. He can come down with contested catches. He is a freak of nature in that aspect. Maybe even if he doesn't have elite top end speed, I think he probably ends up going second round now, but some team's going to get a really good pick in that second round.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people might say a couple duds are the two guys who didn't perform, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, but I would say that's overthinking it a little bit. I think those two guys have definitely proven what they are capable of. If they're not top 10 picks, both of them, I will be surprised at this point, despite their lack of participation in the combine. No worries there. All right, let's move on to the offensive line, Andrew. Let's do it generally. You can go interior, you can go offensive tackle. Anybody stand out to you as a dud out of the offensive line group?
On the offensive line, it's very difficult to come across with true duds along the offensive line. I would say Dominic Pooney is a guy that I was a little bit disappointed in just in his workout in general. I think he's going to really have to focus in on guard. a lot of people are like, maybe he can play tackle at the next level. I thought he could play tackle at the next level, but it's a concerning. The 5'4", 8'40", whatever, but the split time is what matters more. The good lineman, you really want to get under that 1.8 mark. He ran a 1.86, a little bit concerning. 30-inch vertical, 107-inch broad jump doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence in me as it pertains to his explosiveness as an athlete. I think his best fit is at guard in the NFL. I think he can be a good guard, but he was trending up toward a top 50, top 55 selection before this. I think he's now in that third round, maybe even falls to the fourth round after this. I hate to say that because overall, his past season at Kansas was really good for him. But I'm going to say that he was a true loser from the combine. His stock is going to take a hit. It's just one of those things that he's a good guy. You don't want to see it happen. But he did have it. He struggled in just the movement in general. And he's not the biggest lineman either. It wasn't like he was 350 pounds doing this. This is a guy, you know, that between 310, 320, just struggled. Didn't look like he looked bigger than what he actually was. That's not necessarily something you always want to see if you're an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I thought like all of the top tier guys kind of played like top tier guys or showed out that they were top tier guys here. And some of those second level players showed they were second level players. So it kind of made sense how it all played out. The one guy I would like to talk about in a positive light is Troy Fatanu. I think that he proved here with his movement skills that he can play tackle at the NFL level. I think he's going to be a tackle. And there were some thoughts that he can move into guard, but I just think that type of quickness, that type of footwork, you don't see it that often. And I know he's not got the incredible length of an Amarius Mims or a Tyler Guyton, but he is to me a more refined 34.5-inch arms. Yeah. So it's not bad either. So it's just like, it's a guy that I don't know why there were a lot of concerns about him playing tackle. He just makes sense as an offensive tackle. So we'll see how it plays out, but I think that he's going to go pretty early in this draft as well. Amarius Mims, I thought, had a good week. Nobody really stood out to me too poorly for the offensive line. So let's move on to running backs, Andrew, unless you've got something else at offensive line.
Well, I was just going to mention his teammate, Roger Rosengarten, who had an incredible workout as well. He's more of a right tackle. He's a good pass blocking right tackle. So if you're looking for that mauler, he's not that guy on the right side, but he's someone that is trending toward. I don't think he quite gets into the first round just because it's so saturated with talent at the top. But I think you're talking early to mid second round. I think Rosengarten's probably going to be a top 50 pick when it's all said and done. I don't know how versatile he is in moving to the left side, but he's a good pass blocker. He had a really good season this past year. It wasn't great in the national championship game, but in all fairness, neither was Fatanu. So I think you just kind of – sometimes you just have to throw one game out. Okay, yes, it was against the best defense in all of college football. Let's see how he does against everything else. And everything else was pretty good for Rosengarten this past year. So he's another name to keep an eye on because I know you'd mentioned Fatanu. So I thought I would mention him as well.
Sure, yeah. Some good offensive line prospects. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to see a lot of those guys go off the board very early. We don't have to spend a lot of time on the next position, the running back position, because I think there was really one guy specifically that really may have boosted his draft stock based on his testing numbers. And that's Isaac Garendo from Louisville. I mean, just absolutely blew away the competition running. Track speed at 220 pounds. That's impressive. I think his RAS score is one of the best of all time at the running back position since they've been calculating that. So he's a guy to me that absolutely rose throughout this process. Anybody else stand out to you?
I'm going to give you two names. Marshawn Lloyd, he's not the biggest running back, not the tallest, but he measures in around that 215, 220 mark. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of comprehension for Marshawn Lloyd to be the first running back off the board. I don't think it's impossible to believe he could go that high. And another name that if he doesn't go first, the first running back, I think another name who benefits from Brooks from Texas not being available and Henderson returning to school, another guy who's going to benefit is Jalen Wright from Tennessee, who had a fantastic workout. With Lloyd, the big thing was just catching passes, and he looked really natural catching passes. That was a big win for him. And then with Jalen Wright, he looks like Alvin Kamara. I mean, everything just seems to it fits the school, the size. He ran a faster 40, just straight line speed. He's a little bit faster than Kamara. But again, the hands didn't seem to be an issue at the combine, and that was big for him. I think he's in that fight for RB1 as well. He, Marshawn Lloyd, Jordan Brooks, and I think those are the ideal top three guys you're looking at right now to be the top running back off the board.
Trey Benson had a good run as well in the 40. He looked pretty good out there. Disappointed in Audric Estime's 40 time. Disappointed in Audric Estime's 40 time. 4.75. That's rough.
Dylan Johnson had a really rough workout in general.
Yeah, that's true. I think that there were a couple duds in that group, especially when you think of the explosiveness of Estime on tape. It does not match a 4.75. Maybe that's just a bad day for him at the office, but we'll see. We'll see if maybe he tries again at his pro day to see if he can improve that.
Maybe he can be a LeGarrette Blount type player, a guy who may never be a three down back, but a guy who in short yardage situations can just take over as that power back. Thinking LeGarrette Blount didn't exactly run the greatest 40 either.
Yeah.
I think that's ideally what the type of player he's going to have to try to be at the next level.
Yep, I agree. All right, the final offensive position is tight end. And another group that, you know, there wasn't a lot of standouts here, but there weren't a lot of duds either. It's just kind of par for the course for the tight ends. Did anybody, though, stand out real big to you in this one way or the other?
I really liked Theo Johnson coming into the combine, and I like him even more now. I thought he'd probably run the 4.6s. He runs a 4.57 across the board. His combine numbers were fantastic. And even in the drills, when he proved that he has some power, you saw in some of those on-field drills that really surprised me even. I really did not see that in him. He's a good blocker on tape. But the 39.5-inch vertical, the 4.19 shuttle, I mean, I didn't know this guy was that good of an athlete. Was really surprised by him. And then maybe a guy that I'd like to get your thoughts on, Jeremy. I'm having a hard time evaluating him. And it's Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
Yeah.
Isaiah Likely is a good reminder that you can't go solely off of just statistics at tight end as it pertains to the combine numbers and holding that against them, because Isaiah Likely has become a pretty good NFL tight end despite having a really bad combine. But Sanders, for a guy that his hallmark is his athleticism, when you watch him on tape, 4.69, I expected him to run a little bit better than that. And, you know, how can good, if that's truly a speed, how good can he separate at the next level? That was it just the Big 12 defenses that he was able to separate against? Was that why he was so good in college? That's a concern. Like, in my opinion, Theo Johnson's the clear cut number two tight end in this class. Jatavion Sanders down to three, and I'm struggling just to figure out, do I put him in my top 100 still?
Yeah, I definitely think he has been leapfrogged by Theo Johnson. Maybe not leapfrogged, but there's clear separation there now. Athletically, I think what you see on tape, the separation starts to come out there. So Sanders, to me, he needed to run faster for not being the bulkiest tight end out there. I just think that was a little disappointing for him, for sure. Now, am I taking him on my draft board? No. Am I going to draft him in the third round, though, now? Maybe not. I might wait on that. So we'll see how that all plays out for the tight ends. Let's move to the defense, though, Andrew. We've still got a lot of positions to cover here. And let's start up front on the defensive line. Let's go with the interior guys. We'll get to the edge rushers next. But anybody on the defensive interior that was a stud for you?
Along the defensive interior, I was a little bit surprised by Byron Murphy just because I never saw the explosiveness on tape. A lot of people already had him in the first round. I still struggle to have a first round grade on him because when I watch him, he's just so inconsistent from play to play. And I really am not comfortable taking him that high. I would say my biggest riser from this group would be Braden Fisk. Defensive lineman, yes, the arm length is a concern, but everything else he checked. 4.78 in the 40, 292 pounds. Absolutely incredible. 33.5-inch vertical, 117 the broad jump. I mean, this guy, everything in terms of just like overall length, he measured it over 6'3.5". So his motor was unquestioned. The only thing he has to answer about is those shorter arms. When you watch him on tape, especially toward the end of this year, didn't appear to be an issue. So he's a guy that's trending upward. I don't know how schematically versatile he is just because of that lack of length. Can he be a five technique? I'm not sure. I think three technique is probably the best fit for him. So you're looking at 4-3 teams. Maybe if in the right system that plays a lot of sub packages, maybe you find a way to fit him in and kind of that guy who's playing and that a B gap, sometimes playing over the tackle, kind of moving him around a little bit in odd front schemes. But Braden Fisk is a guy that I've really grown to like in this draft prospects. I think he has a chance to be a Pro Bowler at the next level.
Yeah, I agree. I really do. And I think that that pass rush is where he's going to win. And because he's so quick. I mean, he's just so quick. It's very impressive to watch him move. He might have been my favorite workout of the weekend. When you break it down by position, regardless of position, he might have been my favorite workout to watch. Devondre Sweat. He can move. He's a big dude. 366. Yeah. That's a big dude, but he can still move, and he'll have a role at the next level. Now, he's not going to be a three-down defensive lineman. You can throw that out the window right now, but as a two-down, two-gap run stopper, that he's going to be good. And a guy who pushes pockets. I just think that he's got a lot of potential, and an NFL team, get him in a weight room, they might be able to lower that weight a little bit and increase his stamina to be able to play more downs. That might be something they work with him at. But he's just a unique player, a unique body type for the NFL, and I think that somebody's going to find a use for that. I thought one of my guys in this draft, Mason Smith out of LSU, I don't necessarily think he won – on the field, but he won in the measuring room. At his arm length, his body type, I just think it's a great fit, especially for these odd front defenses that are still out there. I think he's got a lot of versatility to move in and out, and I just feel like he's a guy that could see his stock rise based on his production in the combine. Anybody that was kind of a dud here in this group?
Darius Robinson's going to get a lot of looks because of his 4.94 5.40, and I was disappointed to see that. I expected him to test much better, but if you watch the rest of his on-field drills, he really wasn't that bad. He actually moved a lot better than most of the defensive linemen. Everyone just points straight to the 40. This guy, I think all that does is confirm he is not a defensive end, a true defensive end at the next level. You play him as a five technique defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. That's where he's going to thrive, with his hand in the dirt, being able to play, whether it be over the tackle, on sub packages, moving inside. That is his role at the next level, not as a stand-up pass rusher. That's not going to be where he's going to fit at the NFL. And I think this just confirmed that.
Absolutely. All right. The biggest stud of the combine at edge, Andrew, who is it and why is it Dallas Turner from Alabama?
Stud, yes. Riser, no. Dallas Turner was already the number one edge rusher on the board. I think that he's going to be in that 8 to 12 range probably. And I know that you're a big fan of Turner as well. So, I'll let you, if you want to wax poetic on him in a minute, feel free to go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's a home run pick for the Falcons, who have been dying for edge rusher, and they're sitting there at 8. I think anybody inside that 8 to 12 range, if you're going to, some of these teams that want quarterback, you know, sitting 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, they miss out on a guy at quarterback and end up with a guy like Dallas Turner falling into their laps. They should be very happy. I think a foundational piece potentially on the edge. Would not be surprised, Andrew, if he ends up being better than Will Anderson by the time his career's done.
Wow. That's actually a pretty good take. I'm curious. That's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, now I'm going to be focusing on how those careers go back and forth, because I would have never drawn that comparison, but I'm curious to see how that works out.
Different scheme. Yeah, different players, but I think that Turner's athleticism is a higher upside than
that's fair. Anderson. That's fair. I do believe he has higher upside than Anderson. One guy that I guess I just didn't expect to test this well was Chop Robinson from Penn State. Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of athleticism in Adisa Isaac. I was a little bit disappointed by his overall performance. He's going to be really limited the next level, I think, to just very sub-package pass rushing situations for Isaac. But with Chop Robinson, like, he measured at over 250 pounds, so it's not like he cut the the weight, but still ran a 4.49, which was incredible. Yeah. Robinson, I had a day two grade on. I think I'm going to have to reconsider that, regardless of whether I keep him as a day two, early day two grade, or late day one. I think there's a good chance, I'd say probably a 70% chance he goes in round one now. I know we have so many offensive players vying for those late round spots, but you still have some teams at the end. The Detroit Lions need another pass rusher across from Aiden Hutchinson. They have Houston. They have other guys, but they could really afford to add another guy into the fold. He'd be an ideal guy. The Green Bay could be potentially looking at adding another piece there. There's teams in the back half of that round that could really use a Chop Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, inside linebackers, the off-ball guys, they're important too, everybody. Don't forget about them, okay? Let's see. Who's the big winner of the week for the inside linebackers, Andrew?
I'm going to go with a unique name. Again, just because some of these guys, they had good workouts, but not. Do you really consider them risers as opposed to that? I'm going to give you one guy who's a true riser for me, and that's Edifuan Olufosio, from linebacker from Washington. Regardless of whether you can pronounce his name or not, I did read that his name means not afraid of war. That's the type of linebacker that I want. Yeah. When it means that his name means not afraid of war, I'm all in. But he was a projected day three pick. He really wasn't high on my radar. It wasn't that I disliked his tape, but it's just like, you know, what is that wow trait that he has in his game? He ran a 4.56 40, which is solid, a little bit better than what I thought. I thought he may run low 4.6. 39.5-inch vertical. Okay, this guy's explosive. 128-inch broad jump. Okay, this guy's legitimate. And he didn't drop the weight either. He measured in at 236 pounds, which is a solid weight for a modern-day linebacker. He moved well in the drills. He didn't make that many major mistakes during the workout. Overall, just from beginning to end, he really impressed me. I'm going to have to move him up on the draft board probably to day two at some point. I think I'm going to have a third-round grade on him initially, and it depend on what he does at the pro day. Depend on how other players move up and down the board. I may even move him up higher than that. But he's a top 100 prospect for me, that a guy who was not really that high on my board before the combine.
Peyton Wilson stands out from the 40 time from the athletic testing. The injuries are still a concern for him. Again, your comments about him being a riser, I don't know if he's a riser, you know, because I think a lot of teams, there's teams are going to be in on him or out on him based on the medicals. Right. And you know, scheme. Scheme too. You're going to see teams that value him schematically and don't care about the injuries consider him a first round type player. You're going to see teams that don't probably consider him off their board. You know, he's a polarizing player because of the injury history, but I do think that he showed out why he probably is the most athletic linebacker in the class here. A guy who I thought did not perform well was Tommy Eichenberg, my boy from Ohio State. I thought he was just an average athlete, kind of just average at everything. And I don't know. It felt like he was a guy that showed a little bit more explosiveness on tape than what we saw at the combine. Not that we were expecting huge things out of a guy like Eichenberg. He's got a niche in the league. I think he's one of these guys that's going to be a core special team player probably, but maybe not much more with that type of athleticism. We'll see how that plays out. Anybody a dud for you at the linebacker position other than maybe Eichenberg?
Eichenberg was mine as well. He just looked tight in his shuffles going back and forth. Didn't have the greatest hip flexibility. Pretty much all the reasons that you had said I agree with.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got cornerbacks and safeties left, Andrew. We've got just a couple minutes here before we need to be able to sign off. So let's do this like a little rapid fire here. So give me a couple corners, Andrew, that are studs, and then a couple that are duds, and then I'll cue you in for safeties. Go.
I'm going to go with Elijah Jones at Boston College. He could afford to add some weight to his frame, but he recorded a 4.44 in the 40, had a 42.5-inch vertical, 131-inch broad jump, super explosive athlete. Solid tape as well. I think he's going to have a lot of people going back to look at the tape for him. Mike Sanristil from Michigan, a guy, if you need a slot corner in the middle rounds, I know a lot of teams, including my Pittsburgh Steelers, that could use a slot corner in that third round range. If he's still there, you could be getting a value pick, a guy very reminiscent of a Mike Hilton, a guy who can blitz, guy who can do a little bit of coverage, especially man coverage. And he's got good instincts. He always shows up at the biggest moments. He had big moments for Michigan, came up with key interceptions in Michigan's championship run this past year. And then on another guy that I'm going to mention is Max Melton. I like guys that have pedigree inside the family. Obviously, Bo Melton, his brother, was drafted last year in the seventh round by the Packers. He's got good athleticism, measured at nearly 190 pounds, can play inside or outside, has sub 4.4 speed. Sign me up for a guy like that in the middle rounds all day, every day.
I got a couple big corners that I liked. I thought Kyrie Jackson had a good workout. I thought Cam Hart from Notre Dame had a good workout as well. And their size is something to consider as well. I mean, neither one was under 4.5, I don't believe, in the 40, but I mean, at their size, they're physical press man corners that get up in your face anyway. Having a 4.40 isn't as big a deal for me for those couple guys. All right, jumping into the safeties, Andrew, a stud and a dud.
I'm going to go for stud. I've got to go with Cole Bishop. He's the obvious answer, but he had a great workout from beginning to end. He checked the box of speed. A lot of people were concerned about that. I believe he is an easy round two pick. He doesn't get out of round two. I think he's right there at the top with Tyler Newbin as the best safety in this class. Guy who dropped, Cameron Kitchens, I think, is still up there. Yeah. Just, you know, I know he didn't run a fast 40, but the instincts are so good. The tape is fantastic. One guy I will mention, though, James Williams, his teammate, he is kind of trying to be this tweener, kind of play either linebacker or safety. It just did not work out. You got to have speed to be able to be that tweener guy. And he ran a 4.65 across the board. His measurements really were not that great. Nothing to write home about. He struggled to change direction in some of the drills, which is something you got to be concerned about with a 6'5 guy like that. I just have too many concerns about that. I was on board with him early in the process, but I've jumped off that. I'm really concerned about his fit in the NFL and where he can actually play outside of special teams.
Yeah, you wanted him to be much faster if you were going to try to envision him in like a Kyle Hamilton role. And I know Kyle Hamilton didn't blow up the combine either, but he's turned out to be a great player. So maybe teams will overlook it, look past it. But the tape is iffy as well for James Williams. So there's some flashes. There's also some bad things there as well. So, okay. Hey, that was fun. Andrew, we talked a lot of guys. We talked some guys who had a good week, some guys who had a bad week. It all kind of comes out in the wash though, because teams are going to go back to the tape now. They're going to look at what they thought they knew and then compare it to what they know now, and then probably end up closer to what they thought they knew originally than what they know now. Yep. It's confusing, and we do this. It's for a reason. The combine is obviously a big deal. It's a lot of the rumors and stuff that go through there are the springboard for the offseason. So still a big deal. And we appreciate all of the listeners tuning in to this episode. We know you can go a lot of places to get content like this. So thank you for coming here and trusting us with your listen and your notes out of the NFL scouting combine. That's going to do it for us here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. We'll talk to you next week, maybe starting to break down some divisions in their draft thought process. We'll see you next time here on the NFL Draft Preview.